It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. We're going to begin reading with the fourth verse today. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'd love for you to visit that site. We have many studies there for you to help you to come to know the Lord Jesus and to grow in the Lord Jesus. And also, if you'd like to email us, you could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. Matthew chapter 24. Beginning to read with verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That'll be the end of the reading. And let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today. Thank you that we can enjoy your presence. Please guide and lead us through this study today. We need the teacher, the Holy Spirit, as he will instruct us through your precious word. In order for us to understand your precious word, Father, we need to be born again because we do not have the heart, the mind, or the soul to understand things that are spiritual until we are born again, as Nicodemus came, Father, to your son Jesus when he was here on earth. And that was the exact direction and instruction that Jesus, your son, gave unto Nicodemus. And we need to follow that. In other words, trust and come only to you for salvation, for our sins to be forgiven, to be set free, to walk each and every day with you. Father, it's just such a joy. So please, please guide and lead us each and every day. Help us with this study today. We need to come to the cross of Calvary, trust in you as our Savior, and we will be born again and then begin that wonderful walk. So guide and lead us today through this study now, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we started here in verse 4, we actually have gotten down to verse 7, but I wanted to read through those verses, and I'll begin with those once again. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I think it's important that we realize that. And then it begins here, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, plural, and earthquakes, plural, in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. And so we're going to end the first reading now with that, even though we read on down to the end of that section, down through verse 14. But we need to look at this and think on these things that are coming. You know, as we find here, nation shall rise against nation. You know, men are fighting and will continue to fight until Jesus comes. And when he comes to rule and to reign from the throne of David, that's when we'll find peace here on earth. You know, man talk about, they choose, they talk about peace, but no matter how much that this talk and no matter how many world leaders come together, peace will never come until Jesus comes. One man called it a violent, power-maddened world. And that's exactly right. People love power, and they don't care what they do to get it. And so it comes with great violence. But it all comes back to that power. And power, usually, and money are kind of coincide. They kind of come together. And it will continue as long as the devil is out of his pit. Whenever he is put in the pit, whenever he's put in the lake of fire, peace will come. Only when King Jesus is on his throne, and only when the devil and his demons are locked forever in the lake of fire, will there be everlasting peace on earth. The description here comes, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And then it continues and says, and there shall be famines. Famines. There will continue to be famines upon the earth again until Jesus comes to set up his kingdom. And it will grow worse and worse until that day comes. We need to understand that. We have been so blessed in this nation and so blessed in this land, a land of plenty. I don't understand how anyone could condemn and criticize this country and the way God has blessed it, but they do. And they continue to walk away from the presence of God, the very one that has blessed them. And we need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to understand. We need to realize that God is the one that has handed out all these wonderful blessings. So please that you understand that. It's not because of man's great achievements. Yes, we live in a country where we hold one of the greatest constitutions, a constitution that's withstood time. We enjoy the Bill of Rights. We have so many things that have really been a great blessing to this nation, and they are not in any way outdated. They are as current as any thing that man has written can be. And so please that you understand the blessings that we have had. And those blessings have come, and the leadership of our founding fathers have given us this great document. We have followed that document, and that document gives us freedom. Freedom to serve our God. Freedom of religion, as it tells us. But that allows me to take the Word of God and proclaim it. Now, as the devil continues his work to destroy and take away the Bible, it's taken it out of the scripture out of the schools. We're seeing some changes there, where it's been taken out of the courtrooms, county courthouses. We see almost on a daily basis that man has sided with the devil. They have sold out to the devil, not realizing, not understanding the one that is blessing them, the one that is giving them their strength and their power. They are turning away from the very God that is feeding them. We would have no food on this earth if it wasn't for our God. None. And yet they choose to curse him, and they choose to turn away from him. For that reason, we have famine upon this earth. And the famine comes because of unbelief. If we were serving God, if we were praising him, if we were honoring him for what he has blessed us with, and the most important blessing is the salvation that he hands to us freely. And if you reject that salvation, if you decide to choose, and you have that right, but if you decide to choose a religion and not Christianity, because anything that you have attached to the grace, to the salvation that God has given, if you attach any works to that, any, church membership, baptism, if you have decided that, yes, I have come by faith to Jesus, but I have to work to keep my salvation, all those things are religion. But true Christianity is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, understanding he died on the cross for you, he died on the cross for me, he died on the cross for every single individual, no matter what the color of your skin or where you live or where you were born into, whatever it is, you have the opportunity and the decision that you need to make to accept Jesus as your Savior. He died on that cross, he shed his blood, and he saved you. But that gift is out there. And you need to say, yes, I accept that gift of salvation. I accept the fact that Jesus, you died on the cross for me. You've taken my sin away, and there is nothing I can do other than to accept this gift for that salvation. Thank you, Father. You need to ask him to save you. Ask him to come into your heart. And then begin that wonderful walk of accepting the blessings he wants to give you. He wants to instill in you and give you fruit. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Isn't that a wonderful person to know? Well, that's what he wants to give us. He pours that out upon us, but only after we have chosen him and accepted him as our Savior. That begins there. And then he truly becomes your God. Right now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, your God's the devil. Your God's the devil. And how is he doing today? He has brought famine. He has brought destruction. He has brought all the evil, all the shootings, all the things that you see is all devil-driven. Let's turn to God for salvation, turn to him for life, for wisdom, and for understanding. That's what we need to do. Now, famine is something that is coming upon this world because of the devil, not because of God, but because of the devil and his ways and our choice to choose the devil over a righteous perfect God. Here's what's coming. Famines. They're going to continue on this earth until Jesus comes to set up his kingdom. Now, do you believe that? Yes, I do. I don't question that. I know that this famine is going to continue, and it has. There were famines back in the Old Testament. Why were they famines back in the Old Testament? Because of unbelief. They worshiped the gods of the land. They worshiped the moon, the sun, the stars, the dirt. They worshiped things as people do today. You wonder why that we're having God's judgment come down upon us today in this country. It's because of the ungodliness. It's because people worship themselves. All you have to do is look at them and you can see that they're worshiping themselves. They're not worshiping a true God, not falling on their face in repentance. Please, serve God. Love Him. Come to know Him. Because if you'll make that choice, your life will be so wonderful, so great. Will you have trouble? Oh, yes, you'll have trouble, but you've got a God that carries you through that trouble. Please, please, call upon Him. Again, this is going to grow. The famines are going to grow. Now, the pestilence, that's the next on the list here that we look at. There shall be famines and pestilence. And again, that is not singular, that's plural, pestilences. Any contagious or infectious epidemic is the definition of pestilence. And there's going to be multiple of those. The first part of that word, if you'll look, is pest. Any fatal epidemic disease. We think of pest being a destructive insect, and that's included in that. But it is also any fatal epidemic disease. Again, pestilence is plural, not just one, but many. And so understand as that comes. Look at the diseases that have been battled and some of them won, seemingly won, but there is always another. And look at what this land has just been through. COVID has hit, and it seems that it's never going to end. That is not of God. That is of the devil. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's your God. He's doing it. He's bringing it. It's unbelief is what brings these things in a greater strength. And the reason that the Scripture tells us that they're going to grow, they're going to continue, is because God knows that we're becoming more and more ungodly. We're turning away from God. Look at the level of baby murders, abortions, murders. Call it what it is. This isn't just a glob of cells. It's a baby and it's murder. And we need to understand that. Now, again, there's been decisions that's been made, that's been great decisions concerning stopping this, or at least giving the states the opportunity to decide. But it's murder. How can God bless a nation, a land, when it is murdering millions of babies? He can't. Why would one choose to murder a baby? We're back to self. You're making yourself God. You're taking God's position by taking that life. God's the only one that gives life and takes us home or sends you home to hell, whichever the case might be, depending on whether you've trusted in Jesus or you rejected the Lord Jesus. Pestilence. Pestilences. Plural. They're coming. They're here. Famines are here. There's people starving to death around the world, and there's great effort to feed the world. And yet the best choice that we can make is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. Trust in God, follow God, serve God, and He will bless us. Now, He's not going to fill your pocket with money. I mean, there's a lot of preachers out there that preach that nonsense. But He will bless you. He will give you the strength. He will care for you. And we'll see many of these things reversed if the world would turn. But we know, according to the Word of God, that that is not going to happen. People are turning away from God, and His judgment is coming upon us. And it's going to continue to worsen, as the Scripture tells us here, until the day that He comes and sets His kingdom up. Now, we have here, the next is earthquakes. Again, plural. Now, there have been earthquakes, you know, we would say almost from the beginning of time. There has been earthquakes. I have a couple of verses of Scripture here that we're going to read because we have an earthquake when Jesus was on the cross and died on the cross. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. And Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. And behold, the veil on the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, the centurion and they that were with Him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, and they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. It is the Son of God. So we find here that as the earthquake hit, as they saw the earthquake, the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Also, at His resurrection, chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, this is chapter 28, verse 1, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stones from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and His raiment white as snow. For fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So we have an earthquake at His crucifixion. When He died, we have an earthquake upon His appearing, His coming forth, as we find demonstration. God uses the earthquake many, many times. We have many other examples here as well. So we find after the death, and now at His death and at His resurrection, and now also at the rapture. Now, let's look, because that's the next on the calendar of events, is the rapture will come. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld, when I had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of the heaven fell upon the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when it is shaken with the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? And I said at the rapture, I meant after the rapture of the church. These events will take place after the rapture. And you can confirm that with the wrath of the Lamb. There is many times as we see, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, the stars fell up on the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs. That's an earthquake that shakes the stars out of the skies and falls to the earth. Why don't you want to come to the Lord Jesus? Why don't you trust him for salvation? Why are you trusting in the devil and his ways? Why do you choose to honor self and honor things of this world more than you honor God? We need to come by faith to him. It continues, because when the seventh seal is opened, just before the first of the seven angels sounded the trumpets of judgment, there will be also an earthquake. That's in Revelation 8. Revelation 8. I don't know if we're going to get all the way through this and before we run out of time, but we'll begin. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayer of all the saints unto the golden altar which was before the throne. And smoke of the incense which came in prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it upon the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And so we have here the earthquake many times. During the last part of the great tribulation, when God's two witnesses, when they finished their prophecy, and the second woe of judgment comes, and we'll find that in Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, and we'll just read that one verse. That's all the time we have. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men, 7,000, the remnant were frightened, and gave glory to God of heaven. We also enjoy the 19th verse, and the temple was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testimony, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. It just continues. Judgment. The earthquakes are connected with judgment. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again is the one that showed the world that there is life. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?